Good morning. How are you doing today? I hope you're rejoicing in the Lord. He is good to us every single day, isn't he? Amen. Let's go ahead and take our bulletins and take a quick overview of the announcements. We do have a deacons meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock, right before the evening service. Then we do have an evening service at 6 o'clock. Tuesday we have our men's and women's Bible study here at the church. And then this Wednesday we have a quarterly business meeting at 7 o'clock. Take note of those things. Now next week we'll be having missionary guests with us. Gary and Wilma Sammons will be with us on Sunday morning. So Gary will be teaching Sunday school next Sunday, and then we'll be having him preach in the morning as well. And then we'll be having a fellowship after the morning service. And so you can be thinking of food items and drinks that you'd like to be bringing to share with one another, because we'll be having not a potluck, but a pot faith after the morning service. And so keep that in mind. It'll be a good time to fellowship with one another and with the Sammons. Then also, do you see it there? Do you enjoy free gifts? Diana Negrette has been downsizing her personal belongings. She moved into a smaller apartment, and she wants to share some of the things that she no longer needs. And so this isn't a garage sale, this is just a free giveaway. And it's going to be Saturday, August the 14th, and what we're going to do, she has a lot of boxes in the bus barn. We're going to set up tables and put it all out in the bus barn, and at 8 o'clock, anyone from the church is willing, or not willing, is welcome, and I hope you're willing to come and just browse through it, take whatever you can need or whatever you can use, and it'll just be a great blessing to Diana if you can take some of those things and use them. And then afterwards at 8:30, we'll open it up to the entire community and just have a free giveaway, and just pray that that's a great testimony to the community here. So that'll be Saturday, August the 14th. Otherwise, I think that's all of our announcements. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you truly bless us in so many ways. I do thank you for your goodness, especially your goodness to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we saw this morning in Sunday school, I thank you that Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a perfect life. He died for each and every one of us, and he was buried and rose again the third day. We thank you for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you that whoever trusts in Jesus has eternal life. His or her sins are forgiven. They're washed white as snow. And so I do thank you for the privilege it is to meet together here as a group of believers here at Nordville Baptist Church. I do pray, even as we sing songs of praise to you, as we look into your word, as we give financially, I pray that your name would be glorified. I pray that our worship would be pleasing in your sight. And so I do thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are a God who answers prayer. I do even pray for some of those among us that are struggling with their health or with their finances or with their families. I do pray, especially pray for Bob Burkhart. I pray that you'd strengthen and comfort him in a special way. And I do thank you that he loves you, and that he's looking forward to meeting you face to face here in the near future. But I do thank you that you care for him even now. I pray that you'd ease the pain. I do pray that you'd help Maud and the rest of the family as well. I do pray for Chuck and Karen Randalls as they're struggling with their health and have some difficult situations to go through. And do even pray for the men and women that will be going overseas here soon to Afghanistan. Even do pray especially for Dan Knox, as he'll be going overseas soon, within the next month or two, preparing here soon to go over. Do pray that you'd help him, that you'd keep him safe. Pray that for any number of others as well. And so I do thank you that you care about us, and that we can trust you. So I do pray, even as we worship you this morning, I pray that you would be glorified. Help us to clear our minds of everything else. Just help us to focus upon you. So we pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
We're going to begin this morning with 72 in those blue song books in front of you. We will glorify the King of Kings. As we sing this morning, this is a song of pure worship and praise, confessing the deity and lordship of Jesus Christ. And to be able to sing this, we need to be able to stand before him and be able to say from our hearts, from our mouths, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the things that will keep us from doing that are, one, if we do not know him personally, if we shrink back from him because of we have no part of him. And secondly, if we're harboring sin in our lives, if we have a broken relationship with him, there's no way we can stand before him openly and say, we will glorify the King of Kings. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. So check your hearts this morning before we come to Him to worship. Get that right. And then enter into the joy of worshiping the Lord, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. So let's stand together and sing 72, We Will Glorify. We're going to sing all four stanzas. After the third stanza, we're going to sing the optional last setting, as you see at the bottom there, and we're going to sing it twice. Just follow the repeats. And follow me as we go into that fourth verse.
Our scripture reading this morning is in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 20 through 25. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 20 through 25. Beginning with verse 20, For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Let's continue this morning with 190. 190.
Oh,
Let's move on to 398. Once you ask the question, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And once the answer is yes, you can ask the question. You can ask the Lord to fill our cup. 398. And 400, as you can see, if you look in your bulletin, the message today is more like the Master. And the passage speaks of His work on the cross, the shed blood that He gave for us. So let's sing 400, I want to be more like Jesus. I have one deep, supreme desire that I may be like Jesus.
Thank you.
toward the end. And when at last he came to die, forgive them, Father, hear him cry, for those who taunt and crucify, I want to be like Jesus. That's a great confession. I'll tell you what, I don't want to be that much like Jesus. I don't want to pray, forgive them, Father, to those who crucify me, for those who persecute me. But that is what we're required, isn't it? That I might be like Jesus. So at this time, we're going to take our morning offering. We can be like Jesus in our giving. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much. Father, that your new mercies were new every morning this week. And Father, I pray that as we worship you this morning, what comes out of our hearts and then flows through our voice and our bodies, Lord, I pray that that would be in a wellspring of joy, of thankfulness for what you have done for us this week. Father, I pray that we would look to the next week, expecting to those mercies again, and willing to change and conform to your image, to be more like the Master, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, to follow you without fear, to follow you, Father, without dread, but to follow you with joy, knowing, Lord, that you are the true one, that you will never lead us astray, and that you are the good shepherd. Lord, I pray that we would give this morning with hearts of thankfulness as well, knowing, Father, that all the things we have are yours already, and what we give is only a token of that fact. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I trust that all of you have one of these handout sheets with Speak, O Lord, on it. If you do not, maybe raise your hand. Dave can grab you one. Looks like we have somebody over here who would need one. We're going to sing Speak, O Lord. We've been singing this every week. Our endeavor is to really become acquainted with the words of this song. It has rich, rich words, rich doctrine, rich reminders. Speaking of God's word and he himself speaking through it to us, says many truthful things about it. So let's not delay and sing. morning.
What a glorious day that will be when we see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. The children can go ahead and go downstairs for children's church as we prepare our hearts upstairs to look into God's Word. The little ones will have their own special time downstairs learning more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that not only did your Son Jesus Christ die for us and rise again, and ascended to heaven, but I thank you that one day soon, Jesus Christ will come back for us. He'll come back for His church. And I do thank you for that. I pray that we'd be constantly looking forward to that day, that we'd be eager, and that we'd be using every single day that you give us here on earth, using it to its fullest, to bring glory to your name, sharing the gospel with others, becoming more holy in our walk with you. So I do thank you for your word. Help us to be students of your word. Help us to live it. I do thank you for all that you show us in it. So I do pray, even as we look into your word, help us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What is your heart's desire this morning? If you could have anything in the world, and you could ask for anything at all in the world, what would you ask for? I'm sure as you think about this, think about all of the things that you may want, what would be the number one thing? Perhaps you'd think, well, I want to have good health. Or maybe I want a nice home with a great car and a boat and the mortgage paid off, all of that. Or maybe you'd be asking for a caring and a loving family, a family that is united and supportive. There's any number of things that might pop into our mind as far as what we might ask for if we could have anything at all in the world. But beyond all of those things that may pop into our head first and foremost... There's many impulsive things that come into our mind, but what should be first and foremost as born-again believers? What should be the absolute desire of our hearts above everything else? What should that desire be? I think that desire should be, I know that should that desire should be, to have an all-consuming desire to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. To be holy as He is holy. To be loving as He is loving. To be like Jesus Christ. Is that your desire this morning? I hope it is. There's so many hymns that we can sing, and we've sung many of them in years past, and even we sang some this morning. But many of those hymns express a heartfelt desire to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they're songs of commitment, they're songs of devotion. And they should be precious to us, not because they're just familiar, not just because they have a sentimental value to us, but because they are true. That is what we truly desire. Our passion to be more like Christ each and every day. There's a hymn that I sang whenever I was a younger child. It's not in our hymn books that we have right now, but it was in the old red hymnals. And it was called More Like the Master. And perhaps you've sung that hymn before. But here's what the first stanza says. More like the Master I would ever be. More of His meekness, more humility. More zeal to labor, more courage to be true. More consecration for work He bids me do. And then the third stanza says, more like the Master I would live and grow. More of His love to others I would show. More self-denial like His in Galilee. More like the Master I long to ever be. And then the chorus says, take Thou my heart, I would be Thine alone. Take Thou my heart and make it all Thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. Isn't that incredible? And as you think of those words, I hope that is the desire of your heart to be more like the Master. There's another hymn that we've sung more recently. It's in our blue hymnals here. It's number 387. And it's called, O to be like Thee. And here's what it says. O to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures. Jesus, Thy perfect likeness to wear. O to be like Thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender, and kind. Helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. O to be like Thee, while I am pleading. Pour out Thy Spirit, fill with Thy love. Make me a temple meet for Thy dwelling. Fit me for life in heaven above. And then the chorus, O to be like Thee, O to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness. Stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Is that your heart's desire this morning? I hope it is. Is your desire to be like the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His holiness and His love and His compassion and His kindness? Do we want to be more like the Master in each and every way? Are we willing to give up, not just some, but all of our sinful desires? Whether it be earthly possessions or comforts or whatever the case may be. And we recognize earthly possessions aren't sinful in and of themselves. But yet, that can be a strong desire, a strong pull on us that takes us away from the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to give up all those sinful desires and habits? Are we willing to give up all those earthly possessions and comforts in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Are you one of His friends? Are you one of His sheep? Are you one of His committed followers? Now, last week we finished a series on the Gospel of John, and we spent about a year and a half, if not longer, pouring through the pages of the Gospel of John, and just to see who Jesus Christ is, and what He did, and what He said. And our desire was, at the beginning of that series, to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a more intimate way, to understand what He desires of us, to know Jesus Christ more closely as our friend. And that was an incredible study, to go week by week, seeing what Jesus Christ did and said, and who He is. And you know what? It's impossible for us to sum up all that we looked at in that year and a half in just one sermon. But what I would like to do this morning is just kind of hit some of the main points, highlight certain truths that really stand out in this Gospel of John, truths that cannot be ignored. Now, in John's Gospel, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but the importance of faith is stressed time and time and time again. Now, how many times do you think the noun faith is found in the Gospel of John? How many times do you think the noun faith is found in the Gospel of John? Do you think it's there 25 times or 50 times or just 10 times? How many times? You know what? The word faith, that noun, is not found once In the Scriptures, at least as I searched in my New King James Version. The noun faith is not found once in that Gospel. But you know what? How many times do you think the verb believe, or to have faith in, how many times do you think that occurs in the Gospel of John? It's a few more times than that zero, as far as the noun faith. The verb believe occurs some 98 times in the Gospel of John. That's by far the most occurrences in any book of the Bible. The second in occurrence is the book of Acts with some 37 occurrences. But John says believe, believe, believe some 98 times in the Gospel of John. Now, we can't look at all of those 98 occurrences this morning, but we just want to look at a few of them this morning. John chapter 1, and just kind of flip through these verses with me, and it will be impressed upon your mind how important it is to believe, and the dire consequences if you do not believe. And I've just picked out some of these 98 occurrences of the verb believe. We read in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Listen to what this says. But as many as received Him, referring to Jesus Christ, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To those who believe in Jesus' name, those are the ones that God has given the right to be His children. Turn with me to John chapter 3. Of course, John chapter 3, verse 16 is a verse that perhaps almost everyone knows. But we read in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Jesus is speaking here, and He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The importance, the absolute importance of believing in Jesus Christ. And if you do not believe, what does John say? He says that you are condemned already. You must believe in Jesus Christ. That is the only way to God. What does it say in John chapter 5 and verse 24? Jesus is speaking here. John chapter 5 and verse 24, what does Jesus say? Most assuredly, or verily, verily, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. I don't think any of us really want to experience the wrath of God. I don't think any of us want to experience the holy judgment of God. But you know what? The only way to escape that judgment of God is by believing in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, if you believe in me, if you hear my word, then you're going to believe in him who sent me. You're going to believe in the Father. Believing in Jesus is believing in the Father, because I and the Father am one. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
Look at John chapter 6 and verse 40 with me. John chapter 6 and verse 40. And as we look at these, I hope it is imprinted upon your mind and your heart. You must believe in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. John chapter 6 and verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John chapter 8 and verse 24. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, there is no hope. You will die in your sins. You will have an eternity separated from the holiness and the goodness and the loving kindness of God. You must believe in Jesus Christ. One more, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John wrote his gospel so that lost sinners might find out who Jesus is and that they might believe in him and have eternal life. That's what John's desire was, for lost men and women to be saved from their sins and believe in Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to believe? We've seen that it occurs some 98 times in John's gospel. Well, what does it mean to believe? It means that you put your trust in something or in someone. Now, whenever we sit in a chair or whenever you sit on that pew, what do you expect? In a sense, you believe in that pew that it's going to hold you up. Whenever you get in on an elevator and you push a button, you expect the elevator to either take you up or down, right? You, in a sense, you believe in that elevator. Whenever you're driving down the highway in your car and you look at those gauges, you believe in those gauges, don't you? As far as whether the gas tank is full or empty. Now, we recognize with the pew, you know, that pew is not, we can't put our trust in that 100%, can we? Perhaps that pew is going to fall down on you. Now, I don't think it is, but there's no guarantees. You know, that elevator, we believe it's going to take us up or down, but you know what? There's no guarantees that we won't get stuck. That's happened before. Or it's possible that that gas gauge is stuck. Okay? The things that we put our trust in here on earth, whether it be physical objects or even whether it's person, you know, they let us down from time to time, don't they? We can't put our 100% trust in them. But you know what? Jesus Christ is someone that you can put your trust in 100%.
Amen.
You can put your trust in what God says 100%. He'll never let you down. And whenever you believe in Jesus Christ, that's what it is. It is a 100% trust in him. That Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. That's what it means to trust in Jesus Christ to be saved. Putting your trust in him and in no one or nothing else. It is a total reliance upon Jesus Christ and his work on the cross for you, for your salvation. That's what it means to trust or believe in Jesus Christ. It's not just that, you know, I believe in God. There's many people that say, well, I believe in God. And they're saying, well, I believe there is a God. Or they may say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but they're just saying, well, I believe that there was a man named Jesus Christ somewhere in the past. But yet to believe is more than just a mental affirmation that he existed or that he is there. To believe is to trust in him. without any other wavering or doubt, or without looking to anything else, to trust in Jesus Christ. It is a total reliance upon Him. John showed the people of his day who Jesus is, and he shows us even today who Jesus is. And we recognize Jesus isn't just some ordinary man. Jesus, we read it in John chapter 1, as we are introduced to him, what does John do in the beginning? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then you look at verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, Jesus Christ, He is no ordinary man, because you see, Jesus Christ, He is the Word who has become flesh. Jesus Christ is God. So as God, he was in existence. There never was a time when He was not in existence. He is the great I Am. But yet, God became flesh. He took upon Himself humanity. Jesus Christ became a man so that He might die for us. Jesus is no ordinary man. And as John goes through the gospel here, he shows the many signs that He did. He healed the lame so that they could walk. He healed the blind so that they could see. He did so many things. He multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And you know what? All those signs that He did, He was revealing the glory of the Father. He was showing the people, I am who I say I am. I am indeed the Son of God. Jesus Himself said, whoever believes in the Son of God would not perish, but have everlasting life. Perhaps you have come here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you've even been here as we've preached through John, and you've recognized, yes, Jesus is an incredible person, you know, but maybe it hasn't sunk into your heart that Jesus Christ died for me. Perhaps you haven't realized Jesus Christ died specifically for you. Perhaps you haven't put your trust in Him personally as your Savior from sin. Perhaps you're still trusting in something else, whether it be works or the church you go to or whatever. You must believe in Jesus Christ. That is the only way to heaven. That is the only way to fellowship with God. If you do not believe in Jesus, John says it very explicitly, you will die in your sins. An eternal death and separated from God. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? That's where it all has to begin. That is the decision that you have to make. But if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you have a burden for the lost people around you. You have a burden that they too might hear who Jesus is and hear that Jesus has provided a way of salvation. The only way of salvation. That's where it has to start. Jesus truly is unique. We see throughout John several I Am statements. Jesus Christ clearly said who He was. We look at John chapter 6 and verse 35. John chapter 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst. Jesus Christ is the only spiritual food that is truly lasting. He truly is the only spiritual food that matters. Now we may eat supper and get hungry afterwards. We may drink some water and we get thirsty afterwards. But you know what? If you eat and drink of Jesus Christ, there will never be any spiritual desires that will not be satisfied. If you are, He is the one who is all satisfying. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus Christ came into this world, a world of darkness, and He was a bright, shining light. And He desired for people to come to Him, who is the light. And wonderfully, several people did. Many people did. But yet we realize the majority of the people forsook the light. They really ran away from the light because they loved the darkness instead of the light. Jesus is the light of the world. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. Jesus says here, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the door of the sheep. He is the only way to gain entrance into the people of God, the children of God. We go to John chapter 10, verses 11 and 14. Not only is Jesus the door of the sheep, but He is also the good shepherd. He says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep." And verse 14, "I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by my own." If you know Jesus Christ, you are His sheep. And Jesus Christ is the perfect shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He cares for you. He is watching over you. And He will do what is best for you. He is the good shepherd. And He gives His life for the sheep. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, speaking to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Unless the Lord comes back soon, these mortal bodies are going to end up in the grave. We don't have a life free from physical death. No. But you know what? Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Even though we may die physically, that doesn't mean that we die spiritually. If we trust in Jesus Christ, we have the hope of the resurrection in the future. And we have life, everlasting life. No one can ever take that away from us. "Though we may die, yet we shall live." John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus very clearly says, there's only one way to heaven. John 14 and verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." There is only one way to God. There are not many ways to God, as many people would say. There is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Amen. If you say, "I believe in God," but yet you reject Jesus Christ, you do not know God truly. If you know God, then that means you have trusted in Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John chapter 15, one final I am statement. In verse 1 we read, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser." And then verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Jesus is our source of spiritual life. Unless we are connected to the vine, who is Jesus, unless we are in fellowship with Him, we have no spiritual vitality at all. We must abide in Jesus Christ, who is the vine. And we can look at these verses in much more detail, and we've done that in the past. But yet, Jesus Christ expressed very clearly who He is. He revealed to the people. Yes, He is the source of life to all who would accept Him. He is the only source of spiritual nourishment. He is the bread of life. He is the one who gives living water. He is the true light. He is the only way to get to God. He is the door of the sheep. We could go on and on and on. The final thing we want to look at here as far as John's Gospel. We've seen throughout the Gospel the words, "Follow me." We look at the very beginning of the Gospel, John chapter 1 and verse 43. We read the words that John records for us. "The following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.'" Jesus Christ handpicked 12 people that would be known as His disciples. And we recognize that 12 people followed him with their feet, but only 11 followed him with their hearts and with their feet. And Judas truly was never one of the true disciples. Judas was never one of those true disciples. But yet Jesus knows those who are his. And he has called each one of his sheep to follow him. We read in John chapter 10, verses 27, 28, and 29. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Whenever Jesus calls you, he's not calling you to a life of instant fame. Whenever Jesus calls you, he's not calling you to a life of ease and comfort. You know what? Whenever Jesus calls you and says, "Follow me," Jesus is calling you to a life of sacrifice. He is calling you to a life that is oftentimes characterized by suffering and hardship. But you know what? It is a life that is filled with joy that nothing else can give you. Jesus Christ has called us to follow him. We read in John chapter 12, verses 25 and 26, "He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Verse 26, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." The call to follow Jesus, it's not an easy call, but yet it is a blessed call. It's difficult, but yet Jesus, in that he has called us, he's not just going to let us try on our own, in our own strength, to follow him. Jesus Christ, he has called us to follow him, and he has given us the power and the ability to follow him. He has given to us his Holy Spirit, who empowers us and enables us. It is by the grace of God that we are able to follow him.
Amen.
Toward the end of John, not many days before Jesus ascended to his Father in heaven, there's a special conversation between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus told Peter, what did he tell him? He told him a number of things, but he said, "Follow me." And not only did Jesus say to Peter, "Follow me as we walk along the seashore," he was calling him to a life of service, following him. And you know what? Peter oftentimes was distracted by other things. Remember whenever Peter saw the Lord walking on the sea? And Peter wanted to go and see him. And so the Lord said, come and walk to me. And Peter did walk on the sea waves there for a while. But then what happened? He got distracted and he started looking at the howling wind and the raging waves. And then he started sinking, didn't he? He let his eyes get transferred from the person of Jesus Christ. And even now, as Peter was walking with Jesus along the Sea of Galilee, Peter was distracted and he looked behind him and he saw John, the beloved disciple, following. And Jesus had just revealed to Peter how he would die. Peter would give his life as a martyr for Jesus Christ. He would be crucified just as the Lord was. And Peter looks behind him and says, "Well, what about him, Lord? What about John?" And what does Jesus say? "Don't worry about John. Don't worry about any of these other things. What you need to do, Peter, is to focus on me with all your attention. Don't let yourself get distracted. Follow me." And you know what? Jesus has called us to follow him too. And there's so many things that can distract us, right? So many things. Whether it's our job or our family or our finances or our hobbies, so many things to let our eyes wander off on. But yet, we must resist that temptation. We must commit ourselves to follow Jesus Christ and him alone. Jesus Christ, he is our perfect example. He is our perfect example of how to live and how to die. He is the perfect example of how we should sacrifice our own self-interests in favor of others. What a privilege it is to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. We read that in our scripture reading. 1 Peter chapter 2. We want to focus in on verse 21 and the verses following. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll look at verse 21 with me. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So if you trust in Jesus Christ, we must follow his example. We are called to this. Who is Jesus Christ? Peter goes on to explain. Verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. How are we doing following the example of Jesus Christ? He is the perfect example. He didn't revile. He didn't threaten. Are we following Jesus Christ with how we use our mouths? With how we live on a day-to-day basis? With the things that we do every day? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Are we imitating Jesus Christ today? And then one more, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Following the example of Jesus Christ. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. What a challenge for us to follow the example of Jesus Christ. But what a privilege that is. More like the Master I would ever be. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Lord, help me to forsake my foolish desires, my foolish goals, my sinful desires of this life. Let me forsake all to follow you. Help me to be a bright reflection of your glory in the midst of this sinful world. Amen. May others see you in me. May others believe in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. May we be true Christians, little Christs, who imitate Jesus Christ in all that we say, in all that we do, in all that we are. Lord, help us to be more like the Master. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and truly it is precious, and truly I thank you for John and the things that he wrote down for us concerning Jesus Christ. I thank you for what we have learned concerning him. I pray that it wouldn't just be a head knowledge. I pray that we have a living relationship with you through Jesus Christ by trusting in him. I do pray for those who are lost. I pray that they might be saved by the preaching of the gospel. And I pray that we'd be following you as believers, that we'd be imitating your perfect example. So we do pray all of these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Let's close and stand together this morning and sing 390. 390. In the mind of Christ.
Christ dwell in you richly. And it has to begin with your trust in Jesus Christ. Have you believed in Him for the salvation of your soul? If you haven't, you can do that right now, right where you're standing. If you're going to talk to me more than one time. Are you saved? If you are you following Him? Do you have the desire to be just like Jesus Christ? Let us encourage one another. Let us pray for one another. May we be built up together.
Reside in us, that you may truly be all in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.